legislative fix, the retirement systems of state employees is in danger of being cut. Good evening, I'm Sarah Jovetich.
And I'm Courtney Anderson, and Capitol reporter Dan Boyce has our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition.
Reporter Mike Powell tells us about a program that gives Montana high school students a hands-on learning experience. And in tonight's feature interview, reporter Edward O'Brien talks with Missoula County Commissioner Jean Curtis about her trip to a symposium that showcased childhood obesity. A hard-fought legislative fix to the retirement systems of state employees is in danger of being gutted due to a mistake. The problem comes from triggers written in the law that went into place July 1st. Capitol reporter Dan Boyce says those triggers could accidentally erase key parts of the law needed to shore up Montana's long-term pension shortfalls.
One of the biggest priorities of this year's legislative session was fixing the state's indebted public pension systems. The way they were, the two biggest pension plans were on track to be more than $4 billion in debt over the next 30 years. Well, the legislature passed bills to fix the systems, and they fixed them by requiring employees put more money in, requiring employers put more money in, and then some state natural resource money was thrown in too. This would make the retirement systems solvent over the next few decades. The bills were brought originally by Governor Steve Bullock's office, but they were amended through the course of the legislature.
I don't have either time, interest, or inclination in kind of pointing fingers to say what occurred.
Basically, an amendment added another element to the fix bills. It lowered the annual cost of living increase guaranteed to current retirees. Legislative staff warned decreasing this yearly raise could be unconstitutional. It passed, though, and the group representing the retirees says they are going to sue. Here's why that's important. If that provision stays in place, the retirement plan would become financially stable sooner. But it actually would become stable so soon that it would enact a trigger in the law which would remove the requirement that current employees put in more money toward their retirement.
If the litigation isn't successful by January of this year, then the additional employee contribution goes away.
If that lawsuit from the retirees still then goes forward and removes that cost of living increase reduction after January 2014, the state would lose two big pieces of the retirement system fix, although other parts would remain. Bullock does not expect this all to happen. He predicts the lawsuit from retirees will be settled before the end of the year, removing that cost of living increase reduction. And with that gone, the higher employer contributions will stay in.
No matter what, we're the first state in the country that's actually made our pension fix, and it's sustainable without raising taxes.
The other main fix bill, one for the teacher's retirement system, is not affected by these complications. I'm Dan Boyce reporting at the Capitol.
And in other news from around the state, the Commissioner of Political Practices has dismissed an ethics complaint against former Public Service Commissioner Brad Molnar 2 months after the Montana Supreme Court upheld $20,000 in fines and costs in a similar complaint. The complaint alleged Molnar violated state ethics laws when he accepted $450 from Walmart, briefly accepted a $1,000 donation from Northwestern Energy, and suggested Northwestern and MDU donate to the Miles City and Laurel Chambers of Commerce for energy conservation efforts in his district. A hearings officer found that Molnar returned the $1,000 check from Northwestern Energy within a few days. Walmart is not regulated by PSC, so there was no possible quid pro quo, and Molnar did not receive the money that went to the chambers. Lee Newspapers of Montana reports Commissioner Jonathan Modell dismissed the complaint Wednesday.
Northwestern Energy customers in Montana should see lower electricity rates after several new power contracts negotiated substantially lower costs to take effect. Vice President of Supply John Hines tells Lee Newspapers of Montana that the company was able to take advantage of low market prices when it signed the contract several weeks ago. He says customers will be seeing lower rates when the contracts take effect in mid-2014, but the company isn't revealing how much lower. The new contracts replace expiring contracts with PPL Montana and are at rates substantially below the current rate of about $55 per megawatt hour. The average Northwestern residential customer consumes about 9 megawatt hours of electricity a year and pays about $60 per megawatt hour.
Phillips 66 says shifting land appears to have damaged an underground pipeline that spilled up to 25,000 gallons of gas line on the Crow Reservation west of Lodge Grass. That's the same problem that led to two earlier breaks along the same line in 1997. Those spilled a combined 97,000 gallons. The Texas-based oil and chemical company said today that it has completed repairs on its 8-inch underground Seminole line. A cleanup plan is pending. The line is expected to be put back into operation tomorrow. Spokesman Dennis Nuss says by the time of the restart, the company will have fulfilled safety actions requested by federal regulators to prevent further problems. Following the 1997 spills, then-owner Conoco Pipeline paid $465,000 to settle violations of federal pollution laws.
Two southwestern Montana women are organizing a candlelight vigil in memory of 3-year-old Broderick Daniel Kramer of Lacey, Washington, who was killed near Anaconda this week. Organizers Amy Nichols of Anaconda and Rebecca Gallagher of Deer Lodge say the service will take place at 8 p.m. on July 18th near the Duck Pond in Anaconda's Washoe Park. Authorities began searching for the boy after his father, Jeremy Kramer, was arrested Monday night in a convenience store bathroom washing blood off of his clothes. The boy's body was found Tuesday about 150 to 200 yards away from his father's pickup on a rural road about 5 miles south of Anaconda. Jeremy Kramer is charged with deliberate homicide and is jailed on $250,000 bond.
A Crow Agency man has again pleaded guilty to second-degree murder for a drunken head-on crash that killed 4 people on the Crow Indian Reservation in December 2011. The Billings Gazette reports 25-year-old Bruce Wayne Eagleman Jr. entered his plea Tuesday before U.S. District Judge Sam Haddon in Helena. Eagleman initially pleaded guilty in December, but the recommended sentence of about 25 years fell short of federal sentencing guidelines. Eagleman withdrew his guilty plea, but decided to again plead guilty for the deaths of 41-year-old Marva Nose, his gun of Harden, her 17-year-old son Frankie, and 19-year-old Chroma Jefferson Fire Bear of Crow Agency. Eagleman's passenger, 27-year-old Vincent Fighter Davis of Crow Agency, died shortly after the crash. Sentencing is set for October 21st. The new plea agreement does not include a sentencing recommendation.
Officials in Richland County have identified a body found in eastern Montana this week as a 55-year-old woman who had been reported missing. But investigators said today that initial autopsy results were inconclusive regarding how Lena Swensrud of Sydney died. The Department of Justice says additional pathology work is planned. Swensrud was last seen by family members on Saturday near the site where her body was found, about 15 miles southeast of Sydney, east of Highway 261. This case is being investigated by the Richland County Sheriff's Office and the State Division of Criminal Investigation.
A 29-year-old California man who traveled to northwestern Montana and picked up a 12-year-old girl with whom he intended to have sex with has been sentenced to 10 years in federal prison. The U.S. Attorney's Office announced yesterday that Edgard Enrique Lay of Escondido, California, was sentenced on May 23rd by U.S. District Judge Dana Christensen in Missoula. Lay earlier pleaded guilty to transportation with intent to engage in criminal sexual activity. Charging documents said Lay engaged in an online relationship with the Evergreen girl and that they discussed being in love and getting married. In February 2012, Lay and another man drove to Montana and picked up the girl, prompting an Amber Alert. Officers stopped their rental car in Victorville, California. Prosecutors say Lay told investigators that he planned to have the girl live with him.
The Chippewa Cree tribe has set a new date to elect a chairman. The Chippewa Cree Business Committee said yesterday a special election will be held on July 30th. 6 candidates are contending for the position, including Ken Blatt St. Marks, the chairman who was ousted in March. The other candidates include State Senator Jonathan Windyboy and Business Council member Richard Morset. The Business Committee voted to remove St. Marks after accusing him of neglect of duty and gross misconduct. He denied the allegations, saying the real reason for his removal was his cooperation with a federal investigation into corruption at the Rocky Boys Reservation. Plans for an election in May were scrapped after St. Mark's filed a complaint over a decision to disqualify him as a candidate.
Rural and underprivileged high school students sometimes face challenges when it comes to learning about careers they may want. Mike Powell has a story of one program that gives some Montana students a hands-on learning experience.
The Montana Area Health Education Center, or AHEC, has hosted the MedStart program since 2010, with this year's summer camps held in Missoula, Bozeman, and Great Falls. MedStart is designed to give a select group of high school sophomores and juniors a glimpse into health and science careers. University of Montana's Martha Robertson is the Western Montana AHEC K-12 coordinator. She organized this year's Missoula camp, which took place on UM's campus June 23rd through the 28th.
We are very fortunate to be situated at the University of Montana. And being here, we are able to work with all the healthcare professionals, the health science faculty and staff. They're not only willing, they're eager to take part in the program because they know what it means to the students. They know that in their own youth, they weren't given the same opportunity.
The MedStar program is partially funded by the Helena-based Gear Up Montana, as well as other foundations. In order to be accepted to one of the three MedStar camps, students have to apply to the program and must be disadvantaged, live in a rural area, or be the first members of their families to attend college.
And they're not going to meet all three of those, especially since both Missoula and Flathead aren't designated rural counties. But they'll most likely meet two of those. They need teacher recommendations. They need to answer essay questions. It's a lengthy application process, and we had 185 applications for the 90 spots we had.
The five-day camp is free for the students and offers them a variety of activities, including a day with two job shadow sessions with some of Missoula's healthcare professionals.
So the first morning facility is really focused on what they listed as their number one priority field that they'd like to pursue. The afternoon is somewhere off the beaten path, and it gives them a different outlook on the different professions. A lot of times they'll come back thinking that they wanted to go into athletic training, and then they learn more about physical therapy, and they find out that's a pathway they want to pursue.
Skylar Banka, a 16-year-old student from Shelby, experienced a similar situation. She planned to go into nursing when MedStart accepted her application, but the camp sparked her interest in physical therapy.
You maybe, especially being a nurse practitioner or even a physician, is you only see that patient maybe 10 minutes and I feel like you can't really connect with them and figure out and see the recovery process and watch them grow and watch all of that happen. And so that's what I feel like physical therapy would be very good, because you can see patients up to 3 or 4 times a week and you get to really know them and you can connect with them and you can watch that process. And that would mean a lot to me, is to be able to know the patients.
Job shadowing allows the students to learn through observation, but as UM human biology student and camp RA Drew Prine explains, other activities such as a cow eyeball and sheep brain dissections let the campers learn in other ways.
What they enjoy are hands-on, obviously. You know, they're upper-level high school students. You know, juniors and seniors are going to be juniors and seniors, and they still need that visual and the touch ability, because you listen to somebody talk for an hour and that's one thing, but you actually get to interact with something, that's another.
The MedStart program's final activity of the week prepares the aspiring medical professionals for their next big step, getting into college. The students learn about school selection and financial aid on the last day of camp. More information on the Montana Area Health Education Center and MedStart program can be found at mtahec.org. For Montana Evening Edition, I'm Mike Powell.
As runners prepare for races in Missoula this weekend, drivers prepare to avoid certain roads. The upcoming runs include the Marathon Beer Run this evening, tomorrow's Kids Marathon in the 5K, and Sunday's Half Marathon and Marathon. Missoula Police Department Sergeant John Weber says drivers should be aware that some main roads will be closed tomorrow night and Sunday.
Well, as they come into the city of Missoula, 3rd and Reserve will be closed. And as you come down 3rd Street, right at 3rd and Schilling, is going to be closed right there. Everything between 3rd, Reserve Street, and Schilling is closed. And then to the east, all the way to Russell Street, essentially is closed as well. That's kind of been some problems in the past. Just people keep aware of that area, and if they can pick a different route, that would be great. And
he says that 4th and Russell, Stevens and Beckwith, Brooks and Beckwith, 6th and Gerald, and 5th and Gerald intersections will all be periodically closed on Sunday until noon, when most of the runners finish.
Well, what I would recommend is just trying to avoid the route altogether if they can. If you live in areas where you can't, obviously that's understandable. But, you know, in years past, the motorists have been very, very good about the run, and they understand that you know, it's a good thing and people enjoy it. So we really haven't had, you know, a lot of problems with traffic or with people really being too inconvenienced. And the ones that are don't seem to mind too much.
Weber says tomorrow night, Higgins and Front Street will close for the setup and advises people to avoid parking on either side of the street past 10 p.m. To see the exact routes, visit runwildmissoula.org.
Missoula County Commissioner Jean Curtis recently returned from a symposium in Washington, D.C., featuring First Lady Michelle Obama, that was designed to let elected officials share strategies effective in addressing childhood obesity. Let's Move is a public-private partnership designed to enhance and build healthy environments for children and adults. It's a project of special importance to Mrs. Obama, who's made reducing childhood obesity a priority. In tonight's feature interview with Edward O'Brien, Commissioner Jean Curtis explains that there are few glimmers of hope when it comes to obesity, but that it still remains a very troubling issue.
This is the first time that they've done a study that actually shows how what we put in our mouth affects our health all the way across the line. We now have some data to look at. Missoula was kind of ahead of the game. The health department, several years ago, the Board of Health had decided that we should be measuring the body mass index to get a baseline. So we started for 4 years. We've measured the baseline on third graders in Missoula County Public Schools, not just in town, all the schools, and found that 28% of our kids were above the recommended guidelines. 12% would be what would be considered obese. So it wasn't just somebody else's problem, it was our problem. Childhood obesity, we know, leads to chronic diseases. It leads to diabetes and heart issues. So we knew it was important to address. So when the First Lady started this initiative, we had some baseline and some reason to get involved.
And ultimately, it's not just about health. It's also about real dollars down the line, yeah?
It is. Yeah, somebody's going to be paying for people's health issues. But mostly it's just health. You know, we just want our community to be healthy.
And when I think about Montana, Missoula, but Montana overall, I think of us as a generally fit population.
You know, I think we're pretty healthy, but some of these little indicators are showing us that we could be sliding the other way just as much as improving, so it's time to just focus a little bit more on that improving part.
Yeah, and let's talk about Let's Move Missoula. Who is part of this coalition?
The health department, of course, the city, the county, Missoula County Public Schools. We hope to add more schools to that conversation. There's some folks from the media there, of course, the YMCA, our parks departments, the United Way. Both United Way and the YMCA have childhood obesity, you know, addressing that issue as a national priority. So they were, of course, natural partners.
What sort of initiatives have Let's Move Missoula taken on?
You know, what we've done is built upon things that were already happening, but we have a few great programs. Active 6 is one, so all sixth graders in the schools. Of course, this is only schools that are right there in the valley just because of logistics, but all the sixth graders have the opportunity to be members at the YMCA for the whole year, and they also get free bus passes to get there and back. So that's just a great opportunity that a lot of kids wouldn't have. We've done some other things like working on breastfeeding. It's proven, the statistics show, babies that are breastfed exclusively for at least the first 6 months, preferably for the first year of their life, are less likely to be obese, and they're going to be healthier, they're going to have a better immune system and that kind of thing. Community hospital, of course, is our baby hospital, has been a great partner on that, and they now don't send home the free can of formula that used to go home with new moms. So they're working more to encourage that breastfeeding, too. So it's some simple things like that. Mountain Water was a great partner with us to put up a couple new water fountains. When we were growing up, there were water fountains everywhere. If you walked in a store, there was a water fountain at Macy's that you could get a drink of water, and that kind of became defunct, so everybody's carrying Gatorade or something, and water's still the best choice.
How did Let's Move Missoula then get on the First Lady's radar?
We submit things to the Let's Move project to tell them what we're doing, and we were then invited. This is the third year that she has invited a small group of folks from across the country to come, and we met with Let's Move staff, we met with the National Association of Leagues of Cities, and the Health and Human Services staff to share what we'd been doing, what challenges there were, what things we could do to improve the program. And what we learned is partnerships are key. We also shared how we've incorporated this into things that we were already doing, and each community had a different model of what department was the lead department. Our health department has been very involved, and of course, City Parks and Rec, so they're kind of the lead in Missoula because that's what makes sense. And then you can build upon the good work that's already happening and just improve it. It was inspiring. It really is the First Lady's priority to improve kids' health, and she used Missoula and Knoxville, Tennessee as the examples of good work in her speech, so it was really nice to have that recognition.
How would you respond to critics of this who call programs like Let's Move social engineering, something perhaps governments have no business being a part of, that it all comes down to personal responsibility?
You know, and I don't think that we've taken it on as that. I mean, we're probably not going to do like Mayor Bloomberg did and say that, you know, you can't buy a big old soda pop at the grocery store. Our goal is really to focus on improving our own infrastructure and opportunities so that our health director, Ellen Leahy, often says to make the right choice the easy choice. So having things like having a water fountain along the trails along the river so that you can fill your water jug and drink water rather than, you know, buying a bottle of water or buying a sports drink or something along the way is just one thing that we can do. She asked all the electeds to share, so why did we make this a priority? I mean, we all have plenty of responsibilities and work to do, so why did we pick kids' health as a priority? And mine was, we are so proud of our quality of life in Missoula, but having healthy people living in a healthy community is good from newborns to seniors. So as we improve those things, it's just better. I was thinking on the way home that it's kind of like going back to the future. Eat real food, not processed. Countries in Europe don't let you put high fructose corn syrup in stuff. So maybe that's the Big Brother stuff that we should do. I mean, that's what they use to fatten up cows and pigs. I don't think that we probably need it in our food. We hope to get the grocery stores and the restaurants a little more involved. So now, if it is a busy day and you decide you want to go to a fast food restaurant, the children's meals now do have some healthier options, where you can get milk and apples and that kind of thing rather than french fries and soda. But they're not the default. So what if they were the default and you had to ask to have the french fries and the soda? You know, just simple things like that. Like I said, I don't picture us telling them what to do. I just see us as talking about what a difference they can make, too.
Are these sorts of measures, are they expensive? In other words, is there a fiscal note, if you will, attached to the Let's Move concept?
If you look nationwide, the insurance companies and businesses are focusing more on wellness, that it is important for us to learn that we had high blood pressure so we can do some things to not have a stroke down the road, those kinds of things. But that investment of money on the front end is harder to quantify, but we know that the result is better.
Missoula County Commissioner Jean Curtis, also of Let's Move Missoula. Thanks a lot. Glad you're back home safe and sound.
All right. Thanks for the interview, and I'm glad to be here, too.
In tonight's weather forecast for west of the Divide, tonight will be partly cloudy with a chance of rain, showers, and thunderstorms. Lows will be in the 40s. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a slight chance of rain showers. Expect highs in the mid-70s to lower 80s. Sunday calls for mostly clear skies. Highs will be in the 80s to lower 90s. For central Montana, tonight expect scattered rain showers throughout the night. Lows will be around 50 degrees. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be between 70 and 80 degrees. Sunday calls for mostly clear skies with highs around 80 degrees. And for southwest Montana, tonight expect partly cloudy skies with a chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be around 50 degrees. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs will be between 75 to 85 degrees. Sunday will also be partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be around 80 degrees. Currently in our listening area, Helena is 82 degrees with cloudy conditions. In Kalispell, it's mostly cloudy and 75 degrees. Butte has 80 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Great Falls is mostly cloudy with 72 degrees. Here in Missoula, the temperature under cloudy skies is 77 degrees. It's 83 degrees and partly cloudy in Dillon. In Hamilton, it's cloudy and 76 degrees. Libby has 72 with partly cloudy conditions. And in Polson, skies are mostly cloudy with 78 degrees. And now for the editorial comments of Kim David.
Health professionals last month applauded President Obama for making a long-awaited announcement regarding his plans to address carbon pollution and climate change. By making this announcement, the president put forth a framework for addressing the very real risks to public health posed by our warming climate. Scientists warn that the buildup of carbon pollution creates warmer temperatures, which increase the risk of unhealthy ozone levels. More ozone, which is also known as smog, means more childhood asthma attacks and more complications for people with lung disease. We're also seeing the earlier arrival of spring, which extends the misery of allergy season. Longer, hotter summers also mean longer wildfire seasons, which contribute to significantly unhealthy summertime air quality. All signs point to the problem getting worse and not better if we don't take action now. Too often, these health impacts tend to get overlooked when we discuss carbon and climate, but they are real and happening now. President Obama's plan calls for standards that would rein in carbon pollution from power plants and thereby help reduce premature deaths, asthma attacks, and other health problems associated with air pollution. In Montana, it's important that families, seniors, and the health community support these standards in order to protect public health and reduce illness. This is an issue that hits all of us very close to home. Our state has large coal reserves, which industry hopes to mine and transport overseas, a practice that will not reduce carbon pollution worldwide. Montana also is home to Colstrip, the second largest coal-fired power plant west of the Mississippi and one of the nation's largest emitters of carbon pollution. We can't deny the important role coal has played in Montana's economic and energy history, but we also can't deny the risks it poses for our future. When we discuss coal and its economic and social impacts, let's not leave health out of the equation. Pollution from coal plants is a major contributor to death and disease and drives up medical costs. Emissions from coal-fired power plants takes thousands of lives every year and cause tens of thousands of asthma attacks. They fill our hospital emergency rooms with patients in severe respiratory and cardiac distress. The American Lung Association in Montana is glad to see that some of our decision makers understand the problem of carbon pollution and climate change. In response to President Obama's announcement, Montana Senator John Tester noted the impact of extreme floods, drought, and wildfires in our state and said, "It is clear that we must address climate change." Senator Tester added that Montana now has an opportunity to invest in cleaner forms of energy and promote energy efficiency to help slow climate change. We must all do our part to support innovations that protect public health and help move our state into the future. Power plants should no longer be allowed to emit unlimited amounts of carbon pollution into the air. We owe it to our kids and future generations to act now. Air pollution both fuels and is fueled by climate change. The tools to correct these problems are within our reach. One question that remains is whether we have the political will to protect our children's health. We must support and encourage our leaders in Montana and Washington to take action and reduce the health impacts of climate change.
Kim David is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Courtney Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Jovetic. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.